We'll be right back. John Sinclair rots in prison.
I could dig it.
Imagine living, eating, sleeping, relieving oneself, daydreaming, weeping, but mostly waiting in the room the size of your bathroom. Now imagine doing all those things, but mostly waiting for the rest of your life. Imagine waiting, waiting, waiting to die. I don't have to imagine. I live in one of those rooms, like about 3,000 other men and women in 38 states across the United States. It's called death row. I call it hell. Welcome to hell. Each of the states which have death rows have a different system for their execution cases, varying from the relatively open to the severely restrictive. Some states, like California and Texas, allow their execution cases work, education, and/or religious service opportunities for out-of-cell time up to 8 hours a day. Pennsylvania locks its execution cases down 23 hours a day, 5 days a week, 24 hours the other 2 days. At the risk of quoting Mephistopheles, I repeat, welcome to hell. A hell erected and maintained by human governments and blessed by black-robed judges. A hell which allows you to see your loved ones, but not to touch them. A hell situated in America's boondocks, hundreds of miles away from most families. A white rural hell where most of the cage captives are black and urban. It is the American way of death. Contrary to what one might suppose, this hell is the easiest one to enter in a generally hellish criminal justice system. Why? Because unlike any other case, those deemed potential capital cases are severely restricted during the jury selection phase, as any juror who admits opposition to the death penalty is immediately and automatically removed, leaving only those who are fervent death penalty supporters in the pool of eligible jurors. When it is argued that to exclude those who oppose death and to include only those who supported death was fundamentally unfair, as the latter were more conviction-prone, the United States Supreme Court, in a case titled Lockhart v. McCree, said such a claim was of no constitutional significance. Once upon a time, politicians promised jobs and benefits to constituents, like a chicken in every pot to get elected. It was a surefire vote-getter. No longer. Today, the lowest level politico up to the president use another surefire gimmick to guarantee victory. Death. Promise death, and the election is yours. Guaranteed. Vraiment. A vote for hell in the land of liberty, with its over 1 million prisoners, is the ticket to victory. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
All right. Hey, we're back here at the Civil Disobedience Project, and Ariel's car is now moved, so no tickets by the ticket people. They kill you in L.A. I don't know if anybody's got a ticket in L.A. Get snailed. But this is Adam and Ariel here at the Civil Disobedience Project. Numbers 213-252-0998. The Kill Radio Station Instant Messenger is going in and out, but I was in long enough to talk to Adam from Dallas, who we just realized that during a demonstration was recording with this video camera, which is the camcorder jihad, baby, because that's really, you can't hide from that stuff. And he was nailed, actually, by the police and taken down to the station. It's now out, but there's an article on it. You know, I will get the link and put it up on our site so you can check it out, or I'm sure he probably has it up on the Free Radio Dallas site. You can get to the Free Radio Dallas site from the Civil Disobedience Project site. You can get to it from the Kill Radio site, so go there, and I'm sure you know, they'll be able to put you in the right direction to learn about it. But you know, in the article mentions the new Black Panther Party, and I always think about those guys and how different it is from the old Black Panther Party, particularly when you talk to old Black Panthers. Like Bobby Seale condemns them big time, you know, saying that's not what Panthers were. And You know, a lot of Panthers that I've talked to, like, when I say Panthers, I mean, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to use the term real. Real Panthers from, like, back in the day are it's kind of a different organization. So, like, the new Black Panther Party should be viewed not as Black Panthers, but as a new civil rights organization. And if you agree or disagree with them, that would be your decision to make. But it's not the same thing. It's not... It shouldn't be associated with it. So if you're new to the whole Panther struggle, don't study the new Panthers, because that's not really about what Panthers were about. Not saying it's bad or good, you just would have to go and make that decision
back
yourself.
To the original source,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And take them as their own original source, you know. We were just talking, that we played some clips there. We played Crass. I played Let the Power Fall by 154 Corporal by my favorite Teddy Duchamp's Army. Backbone by Reducer. Okay, Amy and Reducer crew. She's also in the Motor Psycho crew, who has been playing a lot, and I believe they're playing at CBGB in New York in June, because when I was coming over to Pittsburgh, I was hoping to catch them, but I'm not. I'm not going to get to, because they're going to be playing out of town, but they're doing really well. They've got a different lineup, the Motor Psychos, that is, and Amy's supposed to send me CDs. She says they're in the mail, so maybe when I go home, they'll be in the mail, and we can play those on the show, so that's really cool, and I hope that's the case, because... You know, she's, for those of you who don't know, Amy is the bass player and singer for Reducer, and she also plays bass, sings some in Motor Psychos. So, we send them our best wishes going to New York. I have some great memories of playing in New York City, and I hope to make some more. So, after that, we had the Crass with Deus of Living, Abby Hoffman at the Woodstock with it from the him bumping into Pete Townsend from The Who, and then Bright Shiny Hell by Mumi Abu-Jamal, who I'll be meeting with again next week, and I'll bring back a full report, I'm sure. So, speaking of Abby Hoffman, we were just, during break, we were talking about the movie with Janeane Garofalo.
Yes.
What were your impressions of me? Okay, just...
I mean, I thought, you know, like we were saying earlier, like, you know, there was, at least there was a movie, because there's some people that can't sit down and read the book, you know, so if you want to refer, like, people with, like, a short attention span to something, get some type of slight knowledge of Abby Hoffman, the movie would be kind of a good source, but, you know, tell them not to stop from there, so.
Hippies don't wear wingtips.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, but, you know, I don't know.
I have to use that quote once.
Really?
Yeah. The guy didn't know. An undercover cop came to my house one night, whatever, and they were trying to get me to buy drugs. It was funny because you could tell they're a cop right away. Like, this guy had like a bomber jacket on. He had like he had like this buzz cut, you know, and he was like looking like a frat boy or something.
Yeah,
you know?
You can
like,
always spot him.
He knocks on my door and he's like, "Hey." I'm like, "Hey." And he's like, "What's up?" And I'm like, "What the fuck do you want? Who are you?" You know, and he's like, Whoa, dude, I don't want nothing, no problem, man. I'm like, okay, well, why are you at my door? Why are you knocking? You know, it's like 12 o'clock at night, you know? Or, I'm like, what do you need? He's like, I don't know. You got something I can get you something? I'm like, wait a minute, dude. I'm like, are you selling me drugs? Or do you want to try to buy drugs? I'm not clear on what you're doing here. And he's like, gets real quiet for a second. He's like, you know. I was like, no, I don't know. Are you selling drugs? Or am I trying to buy drugs from you? I'm like, let's be clear about what's going on here. He's like, I want to get some. Like, oh, you want to get drugs? And I was like, well, I recommend going back to the police cruiser and the drug task force that you came to go buy drugs there, because I don't do drugs. And he looked at me and was like, huh? And he like was doing all these faces. I was like, you're the fucking worst actor. I was like, just don't wear wingtips, dude. And he like looked at me and was like perplexed. And I shut the door on his face. And that was the last time I'd seen him. And I come to learn earlier that this is a typical pig trick, where they send, like, younger officers from other towns over.
With, like, previous tattoos from their rebel life.
Yeah. No, this guy didn't even have that. He looked like, from frat row. Like, this guy's great. And I was like, asshole. But anyway, you know, of course he had to go around and try to buy drugs from everybody. And we weren't, at least we weren't selling drugs or trafficking drugs. But that was part of the whole big DEA crackdown on the
yeah.
Punk collective.
Well thought out.
That. Yeah. He couldn't even clarify if he was buying or selling drugs. He wasn't sure. But he was going to do something, as he mentioned. That's great. Yeah. But Abby Hoffman-wise, that really goes back to the books versus like the movie, like yeah, for attention span,
yeah,
the movie, it wasn't not factual information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just kind of watered down, you know, Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, a little cheesy, yeah. But I mean, if you want to get the information on Abbie Hoffman, I mean, you could go to like the different websites that some people will have set up, you know, and it's like mad information there. So much information, but definitely check out the books, you know. But there's information. Abbie Hoffman, especially if you're into activism, is somebody really to like learn about and look up to. Just the way he did like radical activism and got people's attention, got in the media, and just, you know, did things where you don't really see that much nowadays. So we're looking for another Abbie Hoffman.
Yeah, to be the media was really a big Abbie thing, and yeah. Othello Biafra's pushed that. You know, a lot of people have taken, you know, and latched on to that particular view. But, yeah, he did a lot for bringing COINTELPRO to attention of, like, the mainstream, because he knew what was going on before, and lots of other people did, too. But Abbie Hoffman was somebody who was instrumental of teaming up with the media to get them to report on COINTELPRO. And that was pretty cool, because it got COINTELPRO shut down legally, although it now exists legally again as the Patriot Act, but it's the same shit.
Yeah.
But he wrote a book called Steal This Book, too, which was a lot like the Anarchist Cookbook. A lot of people regard that as the definitive work by Abbie Hoffman. It's not. It's not at all. Like,
no.
It's more like just like it's like an Anarchist Cookbook, basically, with a little more politics in it. But the better stuff is like soon to be a major motion picture. He wrote a book, too. Oh, shit. It was about his time in exile when he was in Europe for a while. I can't think of the name of it. Do you know the name
of
it?
No, I don't know the name.
And there's
of
some
it.
Collection of essays. Like, he teaches you some real cool tricks, like how to eat for free and stuff. But it's good stuff, and I recommend it. Like, Steal This Book is good, but read Soon to Be a Major Motion Picture if you want to read something on the life of Abbie Hoffman, because that's like him reading his biography. That's where that book kind of...
Yeah, exactly. But
Was it Steal This Movie?
Steal This Movie, exactly. This movie. It's just funny.
System of a Down have a Steal?
That's Still This album. Still this album. And you know, when it came out, like, everybody was like, because nobody...
So cool,
yeah,
man.
But they didn't really know, like, the whole Abbie Hoffman thing. Yeah, so they're like, that was when the whole Napster. So they were like, oh, they're just saying, like, you know, it's like burn, steal it, like, you know, fuck the whole system. I don't know, whatever. But then really, it was based on Abbie Hoffman, you know, the title coming from Abbie Hoffman, Steal This Book. Right. And then they have the song Fuck the System, which is also, you know, some literature. So anyways, just for some information.
That's cool, though. That's good, because, like, I mean, it was good that System did that, because for, like, maybe, you know, there's a ton of people that may not have got the point, but there's going to be someone that got the point and went out, and they're going to read Abbie Hoffman, they're going to make a difference.
It's
important. Like, I always, like, there was one of these nihilist guys in my town that I used to, I don't like people of not action that have a lot of opinions, but, like,
don't
do anything.
Yeah, do,
like,
a lot of talking and not action.
They slam everything, like, yeah, did it really, did Rage Against the Machine really do anything?
Did they really accomplish anything? Yeah, what is protesting, you know, really accomplishing? Yeah, how are you really going to help somebody?
Yeah, and I'm like, listen, dickhead. I'm like, number one, I was like, if Rage Against the Machine sold all those albums and only reached one person that went on to become another Malcolm X, then it did something. You have to reach one person, and I know damn well they reach more than one.
So much.
And it's not something you can judge in quantitative results. You know, it's not like you can look and say, that meant... You're going to find out later, like MC5, like, I mean, the guys from MC5 are still having people walk up to him and saying, man, you know, you really changed my mind about music and make me want to be in a band and be political. And they were like, they said they never heard that when they were alive, you know, when they were playing in a band. Now, like, they're hearing it 20 years later. It's like, you can't, it's like judging the, you know, a teacher, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I hate people like that, though. They're like, well... Can you really do anything? And the answer is no, because if you're already questioning it, you can't do anything because you're already defeated. So get out of my way, or I'll push you out of my way. That's my big trick. You know, I always say that, if, you know, people that critics don't create, they destroy, you know, or they just pretend they could create, or they're just, I don't know, bitter about not creating or doing anything for themselves. So.
But, like, me personally with Abbie Hoffman, that was one of the sources where I did find out about Steal This Book. And then once you read into it, I mean, like I said, go on the, like, internet, put in your search engine of Abbie Hoffman. You'll find so much information.
And for the people, it's A-B-B-I-E Hoffman. That'll be a little, because some people will write Y. It's like A-B-B-I-E.
And it's like an addiction. Like, once you read on him and once you find out the things that you did, you look at the things you used to do, you're just like, no, dude, I got to do more. Like, he just did some incredible, amazing, creative
it's
read
silly
it.
Stuff too, but it's all cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it kind of maintains the sense of humor. Like,
exactly,
when you read about Abbie Hoffman, when he's talking to you, he's going to tell you about waking up and stepping over Janis Joplin, who was fresh off a heroin
yeah
game,
yeah
crashing
yeah
on his floor. I mean, and then he's going to talk about, you know, with Marx like precision, like a political matter, and that's, it makes it very readable.
Yeah, Yeah, because, you know, activism doesn't always have to be, like, straight, you know, edged, you know, just, like, mad serious, like, stereotypical of an activist. You know, you put some wacky stuff in there. You have to get people's attention, you know. You have to get people's attention, be able to want them to get involved, and that's kind of what he did. I mean,
Here's an activist tie-in, okay? This is a trivia tie-in. Len Wineglass, when Abbie Hoffman and... she's married to Jane. Tom Hayden and all the crew got arrested with the Chicago 8. Bobby Seale was the ninth, I believe, or was the seventh
from
when he got
the
taken out.
Black Panther Party.
yeah, when he got taken out. But one of their attorneys was Len Wineglass, who actually was Mumia Abu-Jamal's attorney for a long time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was a weird tie-in. I've met with Len a couple times, and he's a pretty interesting guy. I know he and Mumia had a fallout due to, like, some information being released, and El Mumi has a new legal counsel. But Len is quite an attorney. I mean, he really has his... for activists and stuff, too. And, I mean, he's not a revolutionary, but I don't know a revolutionary attorney. If there's one out there, please call him out. 2-3-2-5-2-0-9-9-8. I have my own attorney that I call all the time that's also my cousin. he and I are, like, the same age, and we're like, dude, I call him on the phone, and he gets information for me when I get picked up or in trouble, which... I don't know, it seems to follow me. Anyway, this is Kill Radio, and this is Adam and Ariel, the new Civil Disobedience Project team. And we're going to be talking about some more stuff when we come back. We got about 20 minutes left of this particular show, and we're going to leave, and you guys are going to be like, man, I wish that we could take Adam and Ariel home every day and talk to them, because they're so much fun. And cool. The answer is you can. And I'm going to tell you how. Yeah. You can go to thegirlunderground.com, which the Civil Disobedience Project is now a product of the Girl... was always a product for the Girl Underground. Now a product of Access of Justice, too. See the collision.
Yeah.
All right. Coalition. So you can go there and you can get on the blog, or you can go to our official website there, too. And you can download some old shows that that don't have Ariel yet, but they have me. Yeah. And so they're not as cool yet. But this show we're going to record, hopefully, if all works right with my untech-savvy self, I'll be able to get it up this week before I disappear for a couple weeks. I'm going to be leaving for a couple weeks, and Errol's not going to take over yet. I'm going to come back in July. We're going to have another show or two with King Street Gorilla Ken. We're bringing Ken in. He's going to be he's only going to be a liaison. He's not an official replacement. He's just going to be with me. Then 286 is going on tour, so then Ariel will be taking over after that, providing that she gets all her official tech training, gets like her Kill Radio stamp. Yeah. They actually, do you know when you join Kill Radio, they have brand you.
Really?
Yeah.
So okay.
You have to, like, turn on. You have to actually.
That'll be right next to the Access one.
Yeah.
There's
brand
room.
You.
Okay.
And so you have it for life. So when you walk down, they do it, and some of the more hardcore people get it on their forehead. So when they walk down the road, you can, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's how hardcore Kill Radio is.
Metal.
This is to the guy I met out front named Matrix. This guy's
he's a
awesome.
Hustler.
I met him. He was going to give me gold, whatever I needed, he could get for me. And Matrix is from the Bronx. And which made me excited, because I was like, hey, he stood up from the South Bronx where Boogie Down Productions. And I was going nuts. And Matrix and I had a moment because, of course, I'm from Strong Island, New York, and which got us into this whole old school hip hop thing, which led to two people that never should have been kicking that kind of stuff. And it's cool. Adam, for you out there, he's got to sign off. He's going to meet with his attorney. Fist in the air to you, man, out in Dallas. I hope you're listening. We appreciate you tuning
in.
And, you know, if you need any help from us, you know how to get a hold of me. I don't know what help I can offer, but, you know, I do have an expert legal team.
His cousin.
For my own problems. But good luck to you, sir. Thank you. And this next song's called, it's from the old Os Rotten guys, now their new band, Behind Enemy Lines, called Her Body, Her Decision, Not by the State, Man, or Religion. And the big point of the song is, if you don't believe in abortion, then don't fucking have one. Listen to what Dave's saying in the song. It's beautiful. Right now.
Does Georgia's got a law on the books. Says if we all got guns, then we won't have crooks. Now what could make them think that way? What could make them act that way? They're just a right-wing pigeon from outer space, sent here to destroy the human race. They don't give a damn about who you or me. They just buy guns and watch his TV. Let's go! The lady in Detroit owns a can of mace. Got pissed at my brother, so she sprayed it in his face. Now what could make her think that way? What could make her act that way? She's just a right-wing pigeon from outer space, send her to destroy the human race. She don't give a damn about it, you or me. She just buys guns and watches TV. The man in the White House who just don't care, he stars little kid and he dyes his hair. Now what could make him think that way? What could make him act that way? He's just a right-wing pigeon from outer space, sent here to destroy the human race. He don't give a damn about you or me. He just buys guns and watches TV. Go!
Hey, we're back at the Soul Disobedience Project. I was going to play all the songs. We were talking about how you're supposed to look a certain way if you're like different. Oh. Whoa, we're loud. We like different kind of music. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
And the funny thing about it is, like, you know, you say, Eric was saying that, like, people, like, you don't look like you listen to that kind of music.
Oh, yeah.
What should you look like to listen to a type of music? And I guess it's just kind of funny, you know, because, like, I know the Hot Topic kids, like, you know, they'll sit out there, and I was just joking, like, they'll look at me and be like, you listen to punk music? And I'll be like, I listen to punk bands. You know? They're like, they'll look at me, what do you know? And, like, I'll show them, like, my Black Flag tattoo, and it's like, oh my god, Black Flag tattoo.
They That's just have hardcore. Their damn patches.
And I was like, no, it's not hardcore at all, asshole. Just like, leave me alone. You don't even understand why I have that. You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it cracks me up. It's just one of those things. But we're getting ready to bring an end to this show. We got started a little late, but it's all good. And this is the new format, the Civil Disobedience Project, with Adam and Ariel now. Although, like I said, I'm going to be disappearing for 2 weeks, so you can shoot me at dawn, like you should do with all banditos and stuff. And we're going to play some more songs before we go. But a couple, just to kind of rehash... what we talked about, we talked a little bit about Abby Hoffman, a little bit about Walter Jones recanting his Freedom Fry campaign, and about Cheney still lying to people, talking about weapons of mass destruction, the new G8, not to be confused with the G3. Does anybody know what G3 is out there? I'm going to tell you, it's when the three, usually Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, and another guitar player get together, and they play just all virtuoso guitar. If you're not a musician or you don't play guitar, you would never like this. It'd be the most horrific thing you have to say. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It's just people shredding on guitar like as bad as they can. Like,
oh, really?
I actually read an interview with Tom once where he said he went to watch it and nobody would go with him. So he had to go himself. So only like guitar players would like watch this. And we watch the videos. Like we sit and watch them and like we learn our Steve Vai moves.
No,
so.
I never think of anything. That's interesting.
You should watch one. The last one had Steve Vai. It had... Joe Satriani, which are like the two that are always in it, and then I had Yngwie Malmsteen. And for those of you who are from, if you really want to know what happened to like old shred like metal, he still has it, and about 40 extra pounds than he did like back. He wore like the leather jacket, like with his belly hanging out and stuff. And he has the long hair and the thing, and his fingers look like sausages now. And I know I'm gonna see Yngwie in Hollywood. He's gonna kick my ass because I always run into these people. I have a list of hair metal people that I've met since I've played. Band in Hollywood, but anyway, But he still can shred better than anybody on earth. Like, he still flies. All those hands look like, you know, he's going to stop and eat a Twinkie. He can stop and eat a fucking Twinkie and still shred better than, like, any Vans. And, like, he just... And he kicks and, like, has the fog machine come out. It's beautiful. I highly recommend it. But so don't confuse G3 with G8, which are the eight largest countries. Although, those three might have the three largest egos in the guitar playing industry. It's great. I watched a video of Steve Vai. It was a guitar instructional video for a 7-string guitar one time. He's playing it, and he's like, because this is a video to show what you can play on a 7-string guitar. And he starts to play, and he stops. He goes, I mean, what I can play on a 7-string guitar. I was like, I wish I was that cocky. But anyway, that's me on a tangent that has nothing to do with anything. Ariel's like, what are you talking about?
Just, like, smile and nod.
She's like, yeah. Like, the listening audience, like, there's, like, one person in the listening audience who knows what I'm talking about. They're like, yeah. And he has a mullet. And he drives an IROC. And he's, like, and he's popping in his, like, crocus tape on the way home and shit. But I love him because he knows who Yngwie is. And he and I could talk about that all night. And so that's G3. Not to be confused with G8.
We won't confuse that.
don't confuse that.
No.
At the show on Friday, if you did confuse that, somebody there might kill you because like that kind of stuff's very important to them.
They're in the metal, okay.
You don't diss like Iron Maiden or like you walk in. It's
never.
Oh my god. Which I could get on a whole Iron Maiden tangent too. Which I've just added them as a friend on MySpace. I'm really happy.
Adam has cool friends.
No, yeah, they don't know who the hell I am. Me and like 1,000 other people are just like, for those of you who use MySpace, they just like hit add. Yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
You use MySpace?
Yeah, I do. So, I just recently started using it because it's a freaking headache sometimes, but you know.
Okay, I'm going to go on to your site then because I'll show you my. I have two. I have one for our band 286, then I have one for my personal one.
Okay.
You have to give me your information.
Yeah.
And all of you guys can get to my MySpaces. If you go to 286 Music, there's a link there and you can find. The link of just me, too, if you want to talk to me, because I'm always chiming in and making fun of
Adam likes
pictures.
To talk and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. I like to meet new people, too. And
like Matrix.
Like Matrix. Fuck yeah. Matrix is awesome. I think I might have him on the show one day.
Yeah, special guest.
Yeah, special guest Matrix. And there's also a special guest I want to invite, and I don't remember his name. His name is Brian. I do remember his name. And he was at this place called the Anarchy Library, and... In Downey, California, at the venue, and he sat outside, and we met him because he jumped in our van, and he was so cracked out. And Brian like took the microphone from me the whole entire night I was playing, and like sang more of our songs. Although he just met us once and listened to the CD I gave him.
Holy crap!
He got a bunch of people to the show though. Like we were just like, he's like, no, I've seen this band 5 times. Keep in mind, we met him like the first night out there, and he brought like all these people in, and like they were all up in front going crazy at this show, and he had the microphone screaming about TSOL the whole time, like which is an old school punk band. For those of you who are not familiar with the old school punk, you know, we were talking about abolishing government, and Brian, I was like, this dude is awesome. I gave him all my drink tickets, which I probably have never done, but he was great. You know, he was like, I'm 42 years old. I'm like, all right, man. He's like, do I look 42 years old? And I'm like, no. He's like, I'm all hopped up. I'm like, I know. That I do know.
We know that.
We do know that you're hopped up. So this is for him and Matrix. I'm going to bring him back. Not to be confused with the Matrix. All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
This is Civil Disobedience Project. This is Adam and Ariel. Ariel, do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, after you're done.
I'm done. I should have been done like 5 minutes ago.
Who's so done? Okay. If you want to learn more about Access to Justice, check out the website, www.accessjustice.org. We have 2 chapters now recently. We have the LA chapter and San Bernardino Riverside chapter. We do a lot of, activism in
the
streets.
Riverside chapter, like they're really disorganized and stuff.
Yeah, dude, we like suck ass. No, not really. We're awesome. I am the director of the Riverside chapter, so she's just coming down on me.
I'm the director of the Riverside one. No, okay.
No, but we're awesome. And so check out our website. If you want to sign up, a big thing that we do work with is volunteers. It's not just like, oh, you know, there's Access to Justice, read our information. But definitely send some email. You can send it to me at access909-951. Or I think it's also accessla.org. You can send in information. But stay tuned because we have a lot of things coming up soon of how to get involved in your community. I know for the LA chapter, they do a feeding every Sunday with Food Not Bombs out on Venice. So definitely check into that. But our website alone is just like a great source of information of like global facts, which Jake, who used to do the
He just does it with radio.
Okay, yeah, who does, you know, what he does. He's our political...
He's the person of information.
Exactly. He knows everything. So anyways, he does like all the stuff on the website. So there's like awesome information there if you're a fan of Jake's. But
if you're
stay tuned.
If you're doing
he has
doing
a Jake
Food
story.
Not Bombs in Venice.
Yeah.
Will you sing Doors songs if the people come? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like blood stain the roof in the palm. You know.
Yeah.
So Ariel
we'll
promises.
Do that.
We'll sing Doors. I will.
Adam will do it.
Yeah. We could sing Doors songs if you come to that. And two, like Ariel was mentioning, she gave you like this whole elaborate code for like how to get in touch with her. If you didn't catch that, which is tricky, you can also email the Civil Disobedience Project and I'll forward it to her and give you her information directly.
Yeah, because I doubt anybody really wrote that down.
Yeah, unless the email says like, hey, you know, ditch that loser Adam, you know, he's the host to the show.
Yeah, like, exactly. No. Oh, but Acts of Justice has a radio show too,
which
might
awesome.
Want to listen to, you know. We kind of ripped the format. No, not really. Adam didn't rip it. But,
no, I definitely did.
It's like every, what is this, every other Friday of the month on KPFK, which I'm sure like some of you listeners do listen to, independent radio. I think it's at 7, and it's Tom and Serge do the radio show. I mean, they play, like, Rebel Jams, Break It Down, have special guests. They have cooler guests. They have really cool guests.
Yeah,
but
I think they got my invitation for that, too. Like, I haven't got my invitation.
Yeah, Adam just, like, was being a rock star. They've been wanting him to get on the show, but he's just so busy.
We haven't been able to coordinate it.
Yeah, maybe one day we'll, like, drag Tom down here and do... I don't know. No promises. I'm just saying. We'll get some special guests.
Yeah,
but
we're in, like, Matrix, for example.
Yeah,
like,
Matrix, you know... Yeah. He's no Tom Morello, but definitely.
All right, anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, stay tuned.
Seriously, and one of the things Aaron and I have talked about is we're going to try to start getting cool guests on here.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of people in mind, so if I show up on your door and take you one day, like if it's like noon and you're just like rolling out of bed on Monday, and I'm at your door ringing the doorbell, you just might be a host. On
literally grassroots.
Yeah, yeah, so that's kind of how we are. And if you want to be a guest... Send us an essay.
Oh, God.
Why I think I should be included in the Civil Disobedience Project show.
Yeah.
And we'll probably get there's going to be a lot of people, so we'll have to sort through of a lot of one.
Yeah.
I'm sure the competition's going to be pretty stiff.
Just like mention that like Adam's like a kick-ass lead singer and that you love his band, and that's like totally winning brownie points, and you'll get on there.
No, because I know you're lying.
Because they suck. They're so not metal. I'm just kidding.
We're playing this metal place too, and we aren't. We're not like we're like closer to like the Stooges than we would be. Today.
No, they're awesome though. They're freaking awesome.
We just laugh.
Check out their show on Friday.
Yeah, if it'll be fun, you can come out. And if you come too, we have a special trophy that Ariel's seen before that we couldn't put out because we were at a high school.
Yeah,
and you can rub the trophy for $1. Mm-hmm. The recorder will accept too. And it gives you good luck. And we have a little special jar there. And now the trophy also has a plastic Jesus on a spring.
So
it's a new addition.
Oh,
so
okay.
You could be divinely inspired every time you touch the plastic Jesus or the trophy. And we're going to unleash this trophy, the trophy of rock.
Yeah.
At the show. It'll be on stage. You just have to walk up and touch it. And it'll be great fun. And I'll probably hand you the microphone and ask you, was it good for you?
It was good for me.
It was good for Ariel.
It worked out.
And and it did work out. And we are glad anybody who listened, who tuned in, I haven't been paying attention to how many people. And thank you. This is Civil Disobedience Project. We're going to close out with a song by the Mighty Bad Religion called American Jesus.
My request. I wanted Bad Religion, but all he had was like American Jesus. And yeah.
Because I only had two Bad Religion songs in my current...
Yeah, don't complain when Adam's gone and I'm not, like, playing his hardcore stuff. I'll try to, like, put it in, but...
But she's going to play... She's going to try to play the Mars Volta, and we need to revolt.
Yeah. No, no. Mars Volta is awesome.
No. I tell you what, that girl that sings for gonna hit
no,
the notes so
he keeps
good,
saying
man.
It's his no, girl. It's
actually,
check out the Mars Volta.
Mars Volta, guys, I'm not ripping on you. Actually, they're super
They're
talented,
awesome. Touring
guys.
With System of a Down, so
I just
the
can't
shit.
Get into it. I just can't get into it. And maybe it's me.
I think it's Adam.
It might be, but
I think it's Adam.
I didn't get At the Drive-In. No, but I think they're really good.
No, Mars Volta's better than At the Drive-In. It's like At the Drive-In on like Stronger Acid. It's awesome. It's psychedelic. I don't know. Bring
Should
it
I
back.
Take acid before I watch it? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're
no,
going to go
really
through,
good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like such good musicians. I just can't get into it. And I don't know. I just can't.
But check them out.
Yeah, and if you hear it on the Civil
Disobedience
show.
You will hear it on the Civil Disobedience show. You'll hear it on the Civil Disobedience show.
Even when I'm on tour and gone.
You know, you could just wait for that
but
to happen.
But there may be that one song that I hear by them that I absolutely end up loving, so.
Yeah, we'll take. We'll
so we're
going to
close this song, talk about
American
how we never sleep alone. No, that's a wrong song. I'm sorry. We're going to play American Jesus by Bad Religion. And this is to the original Los Angeles old schoolers and who've been doing this a long time. Did that sound really serious? I think I, like,
that was like touching. I like got a tear. That touched my heart.
Greg Graffin.
He's freaking amazing.
It is.
He is freaking amazing. He's a genius.
Here it is. American Jesus by Bad Religion. Thank you. Civil Disobedience Project, Adam and Ariel, out.
Out.